number of years ago, a guy named John Eldridge wrote a book on spiritual renewal for men. It was called Wild at Heart. And I remember one of my family members going to get that book and perhaps pass it on to me, and they requested the book. They went to the bookstore and said, "Do you have the book Born to be Wild?" And getting, how many know who sang that song back in the, all the heavy metal people repenting there? That got Steppenwolf mixed up with John Eldridge. But John Eldridge later on that year wrote a book called The Journey of Desire. The Journey of Desire. And if you think about the desires in your life, often they drive us to God because He put them there in the first place. Those desires may be going out of bounds. They may be self-oriented, but they could bring us back to Christ if we're open to that. And in that book, John Eldridge said that basically there's three kind of people. The first type of people are fully alive and very thirsty. If you could picture folks gathered around a table after this service and really ready for the food about to be eaten and maybe thirsty for what's being served, drink or otherwise, that would be truly a lively group. He said, first group of people are fully alive and very thirsty. The second group of people, he said, are addicted. Something that God has made, they said, "I need this for my soul to survive." And they have attached their heart to that. And the more they attach their heart just to that, the actually less special it becomes to them. And they begin to be very sad because they can never get enough of what they're addicted to, something that God has made that they have turned into an idol, and their heart soon shrivels up, and there's no joy in the addiction anymore. And then the last group of people are those who are dead. Just no relationship with God, and blind, and cannot hear Him, and that's a state we could all identify with because we were once there ourselves. But John Eldridge said the healthiest one to be, of course, would be the one who is fully alive and thirsty. And this would be a gift of passion that God would give us that we would often lose on our own without turning to Him. And so in the Bible, we'll have people serve as models for us of those who are fully alive and thirsty for God. And this is something God can give us as a gift. It's something that we won't have naturally on our own. But even as a believer in Christ, it's something that we can miss because we've chosen some addiction or some experience of spiritual death, maybe just having our minds get stuck there. But many people in the Bible cried out for a passionate thirst for God. Isaiah was one of them. In worship, he said, "Woe is me, I am undone." Now, if anybody had a prayer like that this morning, you would have to say God was going to touch that life because their hearts were very broken and open to Him. Paul the Apostle had the same experience. He said, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. What a wretched man am I? Who can deliver me?" And that realization should come to our souls on a regular basis. It is the cry of the passionate, thirsty heart. And then Peter, after walking with Jesus for a while and seeing Jesus do a great miracle, said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." The privilege of walking with Christ, I'm not sure I should even be there unless it's a gift. And if it's a gift, I'll take that gift. In the 1700s, John Wesley prayed, as I mentioned last week, "Lord, send us revival or we will die." That's a good prayer. John Wesley knew his heart, prone to addiction or to spiritual death. Recently, a counselor from Billy Graham Association wrote that spiritual backsliding is indifference to God and to church. That is, I don't have a heart for God and certainly not for God's people in any way. Now, the Bible would tell us that that sin of spiritual staleness or dryness is something that everybody is susceptible to. It is a sin. It is a common sin. And the Bible would give us some hope by telling us this: there's no temptation that has overtaken you or me, the one who's spiritually stale or dry, that it's not common to man. But God will provide a way of escape. So we don't have to stay that way. You and I might need a season of rest or being led beside still waters, but we certainly wouldn't want a whole life of staleness in not walking with the Lord. And to turn to God and say, Lord, would you provide this for my soul and for your people as an act of grace, God would be glad to answer that prayer. 20 years ago, I knew a friend who ran a bed and breakfast in a residential area, kind of like North Huntington here. Had a pretty, real nice big old house, good yard, and he could host people there, and it was a pretty good thing. But even though he was a Christian, he had a difficulty in overcoming his addiction to alcohol. And so what happened to his body eventually happened to his soul, eventually happened to his work. The manor, as it was called, began to get run down. Weeds would grow up. He couldn't have the strength or the time to get the yard taken care of. He would be fined by the township. Eventually, the home itself began to deteriorate and break down because of the lifestyle of himself and people in the residences there. The doors were left open. The place actually became a haven for rats. And then cats would come and chase the rats. And it was just a horrific experience to see, and the feeling of helplessness trying to help a person who didn't come to the end of their rope yet. But what happened to him could happen to my soul or your soul without God coming in and cleaning it up. Okay, that's the need of spiritual renewal that God would give to us. Weeds of sin would grow without times of spiritual renewal. And sometimes we're reluctant to ask God for that, thinking he might turn us into something that we're not used to. But it would be a change that he would make, conforming us to the image of Christ. It would be a good change and a healthy change. Sometimes I think, for example, where people think, well, if I'm close to God or not, it really doesn't make a difference to anybody else. That's just between me and the Lord. Kind of like a victimless sin, you know. Whether I'm close to Christ or not, it's not going to affect you. It'll just be between me and God. But that's not true. The Bible teaches one sin of one hurts everybody. It impacts families. It impacts gatherings of believers. It impacts the society. Paul, for example, he said, who is not weak? And I don't feel weak. He said, who isn't led into sin? And I don't feel that. In other words, I feel that also. So what we do does impact others very much. We'll be watching the old Steelers next week. And, you know, 21 guys could play great and do what they're supposed to do. But if that one safety, the free safety, if he doesn't do his job, and if he lets the enemy get behind him, as it were, game's over. Okay, game's over. That's how the sin of one really affects the health of all. And so George Gallup, who was a Christian fellow, at least the father was, and he did polls about how faith affects the culture and church life. He asked the question over a number of decades, does faith and church life affect the culture? Yes or no? In 20 years ago, 80% of the folks said, yes, it does. And it's a good thing. You know, it changes people's characters, helps people serve more unselfishly and those types of things. Keeps families at least praying in the right direction. 10 years ago, same question was asked. Does faith and church life affect culture? 50% said yes. Not the majority. Last year, the question was asked. 40% said yes. So the culture cries out for a changed life that will bring good news to a hurting world. And if you and I do follow Christ, we will make an impact. Because light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't overcome it. So that's what the Lord sends us to. And sometimes it begins with prayer. I had some prayers that I thought represent spiritual renewal. as different people pray. Listen to these. Spiritual renewal is when preachers pray, Lord, I don't want to sound good. I want to live in your good ways. That's good for leadership to pray. Spiritual renewal is when men pray, Lord, I don't want to be wealthy. I want my family to be spiritually healthy. That's going to help them more than anything I can give them. Spiritual renewal is when women pray, Lord, I don't want to talk about others. I want to talk to you more. Sign of God bringing a cleansing to his people. And spiritual renewal is when children pray, Lord, I don't want more things. Just give me a thankful heart. How great it is to see thankfulness in the heart of a child. Well, God uses Isaiah in the Bible as an example of spiritual renewal. What can happen in the life of any believer? And it's a picture of what the Lord might do for you and I. Remember, the picture is a gift of grace. God doesn't have to do this. He could leave us in our sin and in our staleness. But he's gracious and would often respond if our hearts are open to him. But here's what happens for Isaiah. Israel is in a spiritual decline and he goes to worship. And so he's in the seat you and I are in this morning. And then guess who else is in worship with Isaiah? The Lord is there. And he's there not just to take up space. He's there in all his goodness, as he always is. Anytime the Lord's somewhere, he's there in all his goodness. Yeah. And Isaiah notices the Lord, how great he is. And he's overwhelmed by it. He hears God being praised as holy, holy, holy. And not only is he in the sanctuary just taking up space, but the praises let Isaiah know that God's in the whole earth, filled with his goodness. And Isaiah is given eyes to see how wonderful God is all the time and everywhere. And it's like the story of a grandfather who takes his grandson for a hike in the Adirondacks. And the two of them enjoy being outdoors, you know, beautiful time of year. And the grandfather starts showing the boy trees he never noticed, bushes he never noticed, every particular leaf. And the grandson's so impressed, he says, Grandpa, I bet you can even see God out here in these mountains. And the grandfather said, you know, son, it's getting to the point in my life where the only thing I could see is God. I can't see anything but him. But him. That's a heart of spiritual renewal. God would give you a heart to see him. I can't see anything but him in this whole world that he has made. So that's a knock on the door of our hearts that God gave to Isaiah and to us. And that's what life is really like. You know, the Lord, his glory fills a place more than the air fills the place. That's a wonderful gift that he'd give us, that kind of presence with him. And so what happens to Isaiah when he's in God's presence? He begins to be changed by God's presence. His initial response is this: I'm going to die. I don't know if you've ever had a sense of that. Maybe just picking up your Bible and reading. You say, whoa, look at Jesus and what he's like and what he did. Do I close this or do I say, Lord, change me so I could follow you? Isaiah says, I'm a goner. I'm undone. I'm ruined. There's a word in the Hebrew used that's hardly ever used in the Bible. It's D-A-W-M-A-W. I don't know how to pronounce it. Dama. Isaiah is saying, I'm silent and I'm destroyed before God. I know you think about maybe when was the last time in worship you were silent and destroyed. You said, God, you're great, and I don't even know if my soul could be before you. Something's going to have to connect me and you, or I think I might just die, faint right here in the pew, you know, or in the pulpit. And God can move toward our soul like that. If he gives us silence to destroy our sin nature, then he'll give us a new life if we want that as a gift. And that's what he did to Isaiah. Isaiah said, well, I have sinned. I sinned big time. And someone said, never trust a person who hasn't been broken by God. It's a good measuring stick for your own soul. Maybe never trust yourself if you haven't been recently broken by God. You know you're not going to see the Lord as He really is. And so what happens is God moves into Isaiah. He's ready to perish, but God, being merciful, comes, touches his mouth and says, "Your guilt is taken away." Now, if we had a big sign out here on the church, "Come to the church, your guilt will be taken away," I suppose every heart who would feel that need would come and say, this is what I need, a bath before God, you know, that He provides through His Son. So that's Isaiah. God comes to Isaiah. He says, "I take your guilt away. I bring my forgiveness, my presence, and also my invitation." And as we pray for spiritual renewal, going from stale to cold, every person's susceptible to that, to renewed with God, God would come. Presence, forgiveness, invitation. To say, "Okay, I'll turn to God now." And spiritual renewal, as someone said, when we recognize the greatness of Christ and His atonement, it's when we say, before God, I got an F, but Jesus got an A. That's the soul of spiritual renewal. I got an F, Jesus got an A. Spiritual renewal is not when you come in and I come in and I say, we got a C+, and if we do a little better, we'll get a B+. Go for it this week, you know. That's not spiritual renewal. That's man's religious effort. Spiritual renewal is when we say, "I got an F, and I can't do anything better than an F." Do we realize that before God and His holy law? I got an F. I can't do anything better than an F. But Jesus got an A. And Jesus gives His A to us and says, "Come, and let's walk together in this new life of goodness and righteousness that He shares." That's accountability before God. That's saying, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So we turn to Him. And God's so gracious to give spiritual renewal on a regular basis. You know, if we need picked up 7 times a day, He'll do it. It's been described often as a second blessing from God. I had a friend that he was asked, I think he got it from somebody else, he was asked, "Do you believe in the second blessing from God?" He said, "Yes." "And the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth." And how gracious God is to provide that if we would turn to Him and say, "Lord, I need that thirst in my soul again. I need to be free from the addiction to Your creation. Rather, again, love the Creator." So we can be thankful for the creation. And the Lord changes Isaiah. He can change you and I with His presence and His love if we'd put ourselves before Him. God gives the invitation then to Isaiah. He says, Who will go and who shall we send? Who will go for us? Okay, who will walk out the door this morning with the Lord? And seeing what Isaiah saw, he said, he gave the right answer. He said, "Here am I, send me." So he's ready to be sent and lives the rest of his life knowing who God is, wanting to pass on the goodness of God to others, recognizing his own need for renewal often. But the response God tells Isaiah is a tough love response. And don't miss this. I think it helps us be realistic with spiritual renewal. It's a tough love response. Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." And so God says, "Go then to a people who can't hear. To people who are deaf. They can't hear a thing. And you're going to go. And what I want you to do to people who can't hear a thing, I want you to talk to them. And I want you to preach to them. And bring them good news, even though they can't hear. And the people I'm sending you to, also, you should know this, they can't see. They can't see a thing. They're blind. And I want you to go to the blind, and I want you to show them my beauty. And show them my heart and what I'm like, even though they can't see. And Isaiah, of course, he hears this assignment, and he asks the question. He says, how long? How long? And God, because he loves the people who can't hear and can't see, God pretty much tells them, go and tell them until the cows come home. Go and tell them until hell freezes over. In the language of the street. In other words, tell until the soul that is really hurting and bankrupt and headed away from God can sense and know Isaiah through your life and the life of any spiritually renewed Christian. Oh, there's hope and there's a way. And at the time, I'm sure Isaiah, he's having to deal with his own. Did you say that again, Lord? He's dealing with his own spiritual deafness and his own spiritual blindness. And he figures if God could break through him, for him, God could break through for anybody. And so the amazing part of the story is Isaiah, he goes and he does it. He does it. God renewed him. God made him equipped to go to a very much a hurting and perishing world and to bring help where there would be no help otherwise. And could you see yourself as that if God would bring a renewal to your soul? He certainly wants to. That's the amazing part of the story to me. He loves Isaiah, loves the people. His love compels his own presence to action on behalf of people. And what a wonderful thing God brings. Think about yourself. Could you seek spiritual renewal from the Lord? Again, it's him or no, just won't come. Know the alternative. Stay on this coldness, lack of feeling of fruitfulness in your life, the addiction to creation or spiritual deadness, or passionately thirsty. Now Isaiah has a mission. Now Isaiah could live with himself. Now Isaiah could say, God is good, no matter what is happening around me. And now Isaiah could say, God's the biggest one in any situation in life, and I'll just put my little trust in him, because he's a big and gracious God. So would you ask the Lord for that for yourself, for your loved ones? Remember, it's for the glory of God that you would do this, for the blessing of somebody else. It's not just for you to feel close to the Lord. Someone said, well, even church, you know, church is not so you feel good. Church is so that God feels good because you brought him a thanks or a praise or a surrendered life. And God can do this for us. Would we just bow our heads, please, and talk to the Lord before we sing together? Thank you, Lord, for not only giving us a new birth, if we'd turn to faith in Christ, and all of a sudden there's spiritual life in us we never had, and often we don't cultivate our relationship with you, and so before you know it, we feel maybe worse off than we did before we even knew you, and you don't want this for us. You'd like to bring a renewed, revived heart to any who would ask. And Lord, I know we have different preconceived notions of what that's like. And maybe for a quiet person, you'll bring something loud in their soul to give courage. Maybe for a loud person, you'll bring something quiet in their soul so that they'll know it's not just them or their personality or them having a religious kick, but they'll know it's really you and your grace and mercy. Pray that for each one here, that you'd make us hungry and thirsty for yourself and have passion. We pray just as your people, won't you give us life again that we might rejoice in you. Bless us with this heart that would be a gift from you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I like this last song we're going to sing. And it's a song of going out with Christ, taking Jesus with us. He gives us comfort and joy from Himself. And then sing it heartily and know that you have a message and you have a Savior to pass on to others today. And keep seeking the renewal that only God can bring for His honor.